free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
Censored Radio Free America.
A little give and take here and there. We'll start off tonight
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Friday night edition of the program. Before we do that, I mentioned your website. I don't know if you heard me. Well, successfully completed another week. I guess you're constructing tonight a new site. Is that what you're doing?
No, that's still the same site. BibleTruthMan.com. People can just go there and see what I offer in the way of literature on this subject of the lost tribes of Israel. And also my essay, Satan's Great Deception, which shows how Babylonian paganism has gotten into what we call Christianity today and what we call Judeo-Christianity or Judeo-Catholicism, as I say. And that actually the Church at Rome adopted paganism as Christianity early in the 2nd century A.D., believe it or not. And it's come down to us today in the form of pagan doctrines and festivals, labeled Christian.
Amen. I can understand that. You've given out a lot of tracts on that subject. All right. We'll be right back to begin with Gene Smith. And if you have a comment or a question, get on the lines now at 1-800-313-9443. I can promise you a very exciting program tonight, as usual, right here on RVNLive.com. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere
of talk radio.
Long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery
resonant frequency, if the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625. Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding the bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
The New World Order Thought Police are on the run. Because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
1-800-313-9443 is the number here, and Gene Smith is my guest. Gene, I guess the question about the apostles and the tribes really and truthfully, really evolves from a more basic question, first of all, and that is, who is Israel?
Right. That's true. And, of course, Israel in the Bible are the people from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jacob's name being changed to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
These are the descendants of Adam and Eve, the first white people on the earth. We discussed this in previous programs. Mm-hmm. You have to know that truth. Mm-hmm. All people of the planet Earth don't come from Adam and Eve or Noah and his family.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see that the Israel people were a certain segment of the white race from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Jews. The word Jew does not appear until 2 Kings 16:6.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Abraham was not a Jew. Isaac was not a Jew. David was not a Jew. Solomon was not a Jew. The word Jew, and we have to really define our words. Voltaire, the famous French philosopher,
mm-hmm.
said, "If you will speak with me, define your words." And this is what people don't do. We just throw these words around like they're meaningless, and we put our own meaning onto them even.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we have, and of course, the meaning of words have been changed throughout the years. I mean, I can't even say I'm a gay person anymore. People think I'm a pervert if I say that. I actually mean I'm a happy person.
Yep.
That's what it used to mean.
Right.
But you can't say that anymore unless you want to be thought of as being some kind of pervert, what I consider and the Bible calls a pervert.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that the meaning of words is very important. And we, if you're going to study the Bible, you have to get the Bible definition of those words when they were written. Not the way they mean now. The word Jew now means Judaism, person of Judaism, the religion of Judaism, maybe even of the Kabbalah, the mystic book of Judaism. Well, that's not what the Bible definition of Jew is.
Right.
And the word Jew meant the house of the people of the house of Judah, the Israelites of the house of Judah. The Israel nation was divided after the death of Solomon into two nations, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And the only the Israelites, the three tribes, actually two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, the Levites were kicked out by King Jeroboam back to the house of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And the house of Judah comprised three tribes. That means that 10 tribes were in the house of Israel. Mm-hmm. They were not Jews. Just like I'm a Texan and I'm an American, but not all Americans are Texans.
Right.
And so, therefore, not all Israelites are Jews, or Judahites, as it should be in the Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
The King James translators unfortunately used some of the Latin Vulgate Bible from Jerome in the late 4th century A.D., the Bible of the Roman Catholicism. And that Bible had Jew. And so he put, his translators just, instead of translating it Judahite in the Hebrew and Judean in the Greek, to the English, that is, they just put Jew. But it still means the same, basically. It means an Israelite. Originally, it meant an Israelite that lived in the house of Judah, not an Israelite that lived in the house of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why preachers can't make that distinction, because if they go to seminary at all, if they study anything about the Bible at all, they have to know this. That's why I say a lot of preachers and a lot of professors in colleges and universities, they are deliberately lying to people when they call them all Jews.
I think that would be the answer to your question. You don't know why. I think that there's a lot of money and power and prestige to be accumulated and made by assuming the posture of modern pop theology, if you will, because as you see, the empire builders today wouldn't dare teach from the scriptures as the scriptures have been taught by the prophets. If they did, where would their churches be? Where would their pocketbooks be? Where would their pensions be?
It goes down to money, doesn't it, Rick?
It all comes back to that money, doesn't it?
The love of money is the root of all evil, and they want that paycheck from their religious organization, labeled Christian, be it what denomination or another, even a non-denominational group, you might say, even. They want that paycheck, and they're going to lie to get that paycheck.
I was just saying the other day with a dear friend who listens to the program on shortwave up here where I'm from, and I was saying, you know, you don't judge or draw conclusions about a preacher man who, says one thing and does another. You don't listen to what they say. I said you listen or watch what they do. And that is the important point, how they live, how they conduct themselves, what kind of bank account do they have, and so on and so forth, you know?
Well, we see what the lives a lot of Catholic priests live, and I don't say every Catholic priest is that way. They're not. They're not the child molesters. However, as we know, a lot of them are, but it's not just in the Catholic organization. I mean, you can find these perverts in any religious organization.
Right, right.
What I'm saying is this shows you a lack of Christian character, does it not? It shows us also that these people need to be questioned. We should not, as Christians, just accept somebody's word for something, be it you or me even included in that, of course.
Absolutely.
Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says, "Search the scriptures to see if those things are so." That's what the Bereans did.
Yes.
And they were called noble for doing so. And guess who they were questioning? They were questioning Paul and Silas, even.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since the Bereans questioned what Paul and Silas said, they searched the scriptures to see if those things were true that they heard from Paul and Silas, how much more should we do so with a modern-day preacher?
That's
what I like to ask
anybody. Sure, to the nth degree. Now that we've established the fact that there was such a thing as true Israel in the scriptures, and, you know, we speak of Adam, we speak of Eve, we speak of Abraham, and we speak of his seed line, then the question that you want to address now for us tonight is, where indeed did these apostles go, and right. where did the tribes of Israel wind up?
Right. Well, in my literature, I send out a map
right.
showing, this is from history now. This is not my opinion. This is from ancient history books. I mean, these are books on ancient history, rather. And these are from the various history people that study ancient history. And when you're talking about historians, Rick, sometimes you talk about what we call a general historian. That's what I consider myself, a general historian, even though I kind of zero in on the Bible, historical biblical theology. You have historians that just study, you know, the Roman Empire. I mean, they can tell you what Julius Caesar had for breakfast every day.
Yeah.
But they can't tell you anything about too much else.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a doctor. You know, it might be a pediatrician, an obstetrician, and that's their field of endeavor, but they're not a good they're not that good in any other area of the medical field that we know is not always for our health.
That's for sure.
But what I'm saying is that we have to understand biblical history. The Bible is a book of history. It is a book of the history of the people from Adam and Eve. This is the book of the generations of Adam, Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. And it mainly concentrates on a group of people called the Israelites from Adam and Eve, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob,
mm-hmm.
whose name was changed to Israel.
That's right.
And a lot of preachers talk about the Babylonian captivity of the Judahites. We know the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar came in there, destroyed the temple, and took the Judahites to Babylon. What they do not talk about is the Assyrian captivity of Israel
yes.
that happened 125 years earlier. And the reason they don't talk about that captivity that much, if any, is because they don't know what happened to those Israelites. They know that the Judahites, and I'm going to call them Judahites, not Jews, as the Hebrew and the Greek say. The Hebrew word is Judahites.
Mm-hmm.
The Greek word means Judean. Same meaning. And so what happened to these Israelites of the Assyrian captivity? Because that was a lot bigger captivity than the Babylonians, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Assyrians were a great people between they had their empire between the Black and Caspian Sea. I say great people; they were pagan people, but they had a great civilization in the 8th and 7th century BC. And in 853 BC, an Assyrian king named Shalmaneser, Shalmaneser III, came against Israel, the house of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now he came against the house of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And but he also had to fight a coalition of the Syrians, and the king of Damascus, Ben-Hadid the first, led that coalition, and they defeated the Assyrians under Shalmaneser the third. Well, they went back to Assyria, and they didn't come back until 734 BC, and they came back and attacked the house of Israel again. In 734 B.C. Now, this, of course, is because of the sins of the Israelites. They're a violation of God's laws, his commandments and statutes and judgments that formed the basis of the old covenant, that formed the terms of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And, by the way, these same laws are the laws of the new covenant, too, by the way. Now, we're not talking about the animal sacrifices of the Levitical priesthood. That was a separate law system. That was never a part of the old covenant. And, again, preachers and a lot of nominal Christians are so confused about that. The laws that were under the old covenant with ancient Israel were only the commandments and statutes and judgments in Exodus and Deuteronomy, excluding the animal sacrifices and the oblations of the Levitical priesthood. That came later, after the old covenant was ratified.
Sure.
So the laws of the new covenant are not the Levitical priesthood law system of animal sacrifices. We don't do that under the new covenant. But the laws of the old covenant, the commandments and statutes and judgments, are still valid under the new covenant, and Christians are to obey them to be new covenant Christians. Now,
Let's take our break, amazing. Gene, and we'll be right back with you. And we'll entertain phone calls tonight on the program. Gene Smith, our guest, thebibletruthman.com. I'm Rick Adams, Radio Avenger. We shall return.
Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Continue, and we are going to take calls. I do want to remind our listeners, though, you want to support Rick Adams and the shortwave costs of bringing to you by shortwave these broadcasts every night. One way you can do it is to take advantage right now of this special offer that Dr. Kasim Khalil, has offered you on the program just a week ago. In fact, he was on talking about three books that he's offering right now. The first and foremost, of course, is the book Wrongly Blamed, the story about the real truth on 9/11, the London bombings, the bombings in the Middle East, the Iraq War, and much more. That book is $19.95 plus shipping and handling. But then he's offering The Words of Muhammad, that book as well, and The Arabian Connection, A Conspiracy Against Humanity. Well, he's offering all of these books for the same individual price, $19.95 plus shipping. Now, if you buy just two of these titles, Wrongly Blamed and the Arabian Connection, or Wrongly Blamed and the Words of Muhammad, he'll throw in another two books free of charge, plus the cost of shipping, all right, which is $12.99. And all you have to do, give him a call, leave your information on the phone lines. He personally is processing these orders. So you call him anytime, leave your message on the answering machine. You want the offer. You want one of the books or two books plus two free. 1-866-618-2503. Now remember, this is the last weekend. You'll have a chance to take advantage of this offer. 1-866-618-2503. 866-618-2503 for the books. All right, we're back with Gene Smith, and we will take calls a little bit later on. But, Gene, you've just given us a very interesting thumbnail historical review of the tribes of Israel, Jacob. And the interesting thing is, I think where people go astray today, many people who are not initiated, because so many of them don't know, their pastors don't know, they don't know what's going on, is that they assume that when Jesus spoke, you know, and the words of Jesus about him coming and his own receiving him not, they automatically assume his own, the quote, Jews who comprise the leadership of the state of Israel today, and everyone else is a, quote, Gentile, unquote. And I think that one verse, too, has been used to stir up a lot of disinformation regarding the migration of the tribes. Wouldn't you say that has a lot to do with it or not?
Well, of course. When you do not understand the meaning of certain words, you cannot understand any subject. If you don't understand any terminology of any subject, how can you understand that subject, whether it's biblical or whether it's secular?
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jesus came, he came as an Israelite, but he was not a Jew. He was not a Judean. Remember, the word Jew in the Bible now is a nationalistic word. It is not a religious word. It is a nationalistic word, just like I could say, you know, I'm an American, not a Canadian, but I'm still a white person. I'm still a Caucasian, but I'm not a Canadian Caucasian.
Right.
Well, like I say, they were Israelites that were not Judahite Israelites, but they were still Israelites. And Jesus was a Galilean. He was an Israelite that lived in Galilee. He did not live in Judea. He only went to Judea for the annual feast festival of God.
Right.
That's the only time he ever went to Jerusalem, by the way. All of his ministry, all of his disciples, original disciples, except for Judas Iscariot, the only Judean in the group, were Galileans. And most of his ministry was in Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
He was called a Nazarene because he grew up in the town of Nazareth.
That's right.
And so we have to understand that he was not a Jew. He was not a Judean because he was not raised in Judea. He was raised in Nazareth in Galilee, yet he was an Israelite.
So
and
it
that's
says,
not a contradiction.
It says in the scripture that you know that he came to seek and save that which was lost, and he speaks about his people, the first Adam, and him being the second Adam.
Well, of course, that is to say that he didn't say that Adam and Eve were the first people on earth.
No,
there.
No, he didn't. Did he?
He was the second Adam because Adam was the originator of the Israelite people.
That's the point. That's the point. And he's concerned, as you point out, the book of the scriptures is concerned not with the whole history of the world, but with the history and mystery of his people and
the
who they come in contact with. Right, right.
Yeah, the generations of Adam, Genesis 5:1 is right there.
That's it.
Now,
in
Matthew chapter 10,
yeah.
Jesus said to his 12 disciples, he said, go, in verse 6, he said, go rather unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
There you go.
He said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24, I came not but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, this word lost doesn't mean religiously lost.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean the lost like these preachers will get up and say, oh, are you a lost person?
Mm-hmm.
No, this means the Israelites of the Assyrian captivity.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about the Israelites of the Assyrian captivity, not the Israelites, not the Judahite Israelites,
mm-hmm.
that came back to the house of Judah from the Babylon captivity in 516 B.C.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very interesting. Very, very fascinating. We'll return and continue along these lines and much more to come. Gene Smith, our guest.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
KU-Band Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellite is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees. Ever.
Again, we are talking about who is an Israelite, who is not, what's a Jew, what is not. And it can get quite complicated for people who are uninitiated, particularly for the, I guess, for the graduates of theology school who are most confused of all. But, you know, you say here in your teachings, you know, from the scriptures, Gene, the book of, for instance, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, he addresses his book to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And the greeting, they are not in Judea, you say.
That's right.
And that explain that again for people who don't understand when you say they are not in Judea. What is the significance of that?
Well, again, the Israelites in the Assyrian captivity, the Assyrians eventually In 721 B.C., under their king, Tiglath-Pileser III, took the house of Israel captive and most of the house of Judah. This is what a lot of people that teach about this history do not understand. The Assyrians took all of the house of Israel, too. It says that in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 13. They took all the fenced cities. The fenced cities were the fortified cities. These were the cities for the fortifications. And if they were taken, then all the other cities were taken. And the Assyrians took all the house of Israel, all the house of Judah. They took the Judahite Israelites as well as the house of Israel Israelites, except for those Israelites that fled into the walls of Jerusalem. And then Sennacherib, another Assyrian king, a few years later, came against Jerusalem. And, of course, then it's, the history of that, you can read that in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35. It says that the Lord himself destroyed 185,000 of Sennacherib's army, and they all went back to Assyria. But so the Israelites, the Judahites, Israelites there in Jerusalem, escaped. They're the only ones that did escape the Assyrian captivity. The vast majority of the Israelites of the house of Israel and the house of Judah went into captivity, and they became lost in history. So when we talk about the lost tribes of Israel, we're talking about all 12 tribes. And here James says that some of these tribes are in these areas, and these areas are Asia Minor.
Yeah.
So here James is saying that some of the lost Israelites of the Assyrian captivity were living in the first century A.D. in Asia Minor. This is the area that the Apostle Paul went to, especially. And when you read about the seven churches there in Revelation 2 and 3, that's in Asia Minor.
Right.
And so we're talking about Israelites that of the Assyrian captivity, some of them settling there in Asia Minor. Of course, they went and settled Europe, Scandinavia, Italy, Britain, Spain, and France. And they became known as Caucasians. Now, why did they become known as Caucasians? Because when the Assyrians took the Israelites captive of the house of Israel and the house of Judah, they took them to an area in between the Black and Caspian Sea. And you need to get a map out and look at this, basically. The map I send you will definitely show you this and this area. It's just south of the Caucasus Mountains.
Yes, yes.
And a lot of the Israelites went through a pass there in the Caucasus Mountains. It's called the Dariel Pass today. And then some of them went around the Caspian Sea. Some of them went around the Black Sea. And they became known by different names. And historians know these names, Rick. They know these names like the Goths, the Scythians, the Getae. They know these names like the Celts, of course. We go come to the British Isles, the Celts, and the Gaels, and the Britons. And then, of course, we know that in the ancient annals of Ireland, the Tuatha De Danann settled Ireland originally, the tribe of Dan. The Danites, especially, the tribe of Dan, left their name wherever they went in some way or another.
Yeah, the Danes, too.
Yeah, like in Denmark, which is Danmark, Scandinavia.
Right.
You see, in Hebrew, they didn't write vowels.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the names for that Dan left, sometimes it's just D-N.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes it's D-A-N, sometimes it's D-I-N, D-E-N.
Right.
Like we have the Danube River. That's named after the tribe of Dan. That means the river of Dan in Latin. Then you have the Dniester River, D-N. You have the Danapris River, D-A-N-A-P-R-I-S River. You have the Dnieper River, if I didn't mention that one. I mean, these are rivers, though, that are just north, kind of northwest of the Black Sea. And this is where the Israelites migrated from, their Assyrian captivity. They migrated around the Black Sea, like I say, around the Caspian Sea. They were known as the Skatolotoi. They were known as the Scuths. Now, this is very interesting, S-C-U-T-H-S in the anglicized form. The Hebrew for a tent or tabernacle is Sukkoth. And here these people were called the Scuths in an anglicized form. We have the Sarmatians. Sarmatians, doesn't that sound a lot like Samaria, Sarmatians, you see? The Scythians mean the wanderers. And the Goths, of course. You know, the Goths destroyed the Roman Empire eventually.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Let's go back again, though, in time, before the Middle Ages and after the fall of Rome and and through the medieval period to trace the dispersion, if you will. Some say that it's accepted that the kings of the first six dynasties of Egypt, for instance, okay, were of the Aryan race.
Right.
And with them, Egypt's highest civilization suddenly developed. And a lot of people are confused. They say, well, I thought the Egyptians were Arabs. Aren't they Arabs, or were they Adamic? What exactly were the Egyptians?
Well, the Egyptians today are Arabs.
Well, what were they? For instance, in ancient times, for instance.
Well, they're Adamites. They were from the family of Adam and Eve. They were the white race.
That's my point. Yeah.
And the first great civilization that we know about, called the Sumerians, beginning around 3500 BC, were of the from Adam and Eve, the white race.
All right.
You have the Assyrians were of the white race. The Babylonians were of the white race. The Phoenicians, the Philistines, the Egyptians, like you've mentioned. And of course, we know the Bible says that God told Isaac And Isaac, meaning shall your people be called. And
see, this is interesting. This is interesting, Gene, because as we develop this thesis, we note that science indeed is ahead of many of these so-called preachers today, as you point out on your website, because they note that there are so many biological and physiological differences, for instance, between the white race, the black race, the Asiatic race, and so on and so forth, that they are not identical. Their gene structure is not the same. Their genetic makeup is not the same. Their physiological makeup is not the same. So when you add all of this up together, you have to realize here that we're talking about separate creations.
Exactly. Each race had its own original parents, you might say.
That's right.
In the first chapter of Genesis, verse 26-27, is where what I call the pre-Adamite people were created. Mm-hmm. And they were created first, and then later on, we don't know how long, Adam and Eve were created. The accounts there are two separate accounts. They had two separate commands. The pre-Adamites were commanded to basically subdue the land. The land area of basically Europe and Africa and the Orient and the Middle East. And yet Adam was only told to take care of a garden in Eden.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's two different commands because of two different classes of people.
Right.
And so God created the races. He created the races to stay pure also, Rick.
Well, now that leads me to the next question. And that is exactly what led to the Israelites divided, house of Israel, the house of Judah, to each go into their own captivity. Was it not this sin?
Oh, definitely. It was a violation of God's laws. That's what sin is, as 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says. They violated, they broke the old covenant.
And therefore?
The old covenant, they had to obey God's commandments, statutes, and judgments in the old covenant. It had nothing to do with the Levitical priesthood later on and the animal sacrifice, like I say. That was never a part of the old covenant. They violated the commandments and statutes and judgments. They had corrupt judges. Well, I'm sure glad we don't have that today, huh? And we were the same people. Yeah. So, you know, what I'm saying is they broke the covenant. The Israelites broke the covenant.
And therefore they wound up conquered.
He sent the Philistines against them. He sent the Phoenicians against them.
Mm-hmm.
The Syrians against them, and finally he sent the Assyrians against them.
Boy, does it sound like America today? You notice any similarities here?
Well, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 28 and the curses there, it says in verses 43 to 44 that the stranger within you will rise up very high and you'll come down very low. He shall be the head and you'll be the tail.
Right.
He'll lend to thee, but you will not lend to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's happening today.
We're seeing the same
people for the same reason.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, like I say, God said to Isaac, in Isaac shall your seed be called. Now, it's interesting, like I say, in Hebrew they didn't write vowels, but they did have pronunciation. And when they wrote little dots above, in between the consonants to show the sounds, that there was a vowel there sound.
Okay, yeah.
And so you drop the I from Isaac. And what do you have as far as the sound of the syllable goes?
Mm-hmm.
Saxons.
Right.
And part of the Israelites were called the Saxons. They became known as the Saxons.
Yep.
That settled Britain.
Anglo-Saxons, yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually.
I mean, all of these names are important in history. And people say, well, what difference does this all make? It makes a lot of difference because God told Abraham he would become many nations, or the Hebrew word is goy, and it means people, but it means people as nations because he also told Abraham that kings and queens would come from him.
Father of many nations, yeah.
So therefore, he's talking about people forming nations of kings and queens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the nominal Jews have never fulfilled that. The only people that really fulfill that were in the Assyrian captivity, because the Assyrians did not take the Africans captive. They didn't take the Orientals captive. They took the Israelites captive.
Right.
And so we're talking about a people from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're not Africans. They're not Orientals. They're not I'd call Middle Eastern Indians. No, they are the white people from Adam and Eve called Israelites. And they were to become many nations of kings and queens, and the history of Europe fulfills that prophecy.
It certainly does. I don't see how anybody can argue against that.
Really, well, I don't either when you know
the facts. It's incredible. Yeah, we've only touched on a few of them. We don't have time to really go through a very lengthy dissertation, but what you've given is a basic sketch, and of course I know people communicate with you after the program. We'll give you your email again and, of course, your website. And people can argue with you if they like, or debate, but
whatever.
We'd like to arrange that sometime. Someone who would like to debate with you. I know you'd love to do that. And
sure.
We haven't done that yet, but we will try to bring together, opposing viewpoints. But I don't think there's any question that what you have just said and what I have read and what I have researched is definitely a fact to be reckoned with. The dispersion of the Israelites primarily into Europe and then, of course, across the oceans into the United States is pretty well documented today. Who are the chosen? Who are not? We haven't even gotten into the blush, the name Adam and what it means. But, you know, you see that if you go into the origin of words, there can be no disputation as to who is whom.
Yeah. Well, Adam comes from the root word that means to be ruddy.
Ruddy
to have a
complexion.
Rosy complexion, and that's the white race. In fact, in the Song of Solomon, I think it's chapter 5 and verse 10, the word ruddy is the same word there that the name Adam comes from is used with white.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm saying is that the Israel people, though, are of the white race, but they don't constitute all the white race, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And but in order for these prophecies have to be fulfilled. This is so important because the Bible prophecies, they stand or fall on these prophecies given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and what would happen to their descendants, and which was the history of the Israel people of the Bible. What happens to them in history causes the Bible to rise or fall, and that's how important it is. You know, people want to go up to somebody and just quote the Scripture to them, but if that person doesn't believe the Bible's true, you're wasting your time. You have to first prove to these people the Bible is the Word of God. And the only one of the main ways you do that is to show how the prophecies from God through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the other prophets have come to pass.
Well, a very large part of the Old and the New Testament is prophecy.
Right. And that's the proof of the Bible, really. The fulfilled prophecy is the proof that the Bible is the Word of God, because no human being like Daniel, who prophesied the Roman Empire, who prophesied that the Roman Empire would be in two sections, which it was, the one capital at Rome, one at Constantinople. I mean, how could he have known that, being in a Babylon captivity in the 6th century B.C.?
No, there's no way that all of this could just piece itself together without a divine hand here and a divine spirit to reveal it. And that's why people today, are just so frightened to death to know, when they hear the truth, that the Scripture is verifiable, the Scriptures are totally true, they really and truly run for cover because they don't know how to handle it. They think they're gods. They want to be their own gods. They don't want any god above them. They have made themselves a deity. And that's what man has done in the original sin.
And the reason we're called Caucasians, and the reason the Caucasian people are the descendants of the Israel people of the Bible, because we were taken by the Assyrians captive to a land just south of the Caucasus Mountains. That's how we adopted eventually the name Caucasians. In fact, you look up
Exactly.
And I have all of these facts in the literature I send out, Rick, to people.
Yes, people can avail themselves of it, and you can give your address later and your website and your email. We'll do that, and we're going to take some calls when we come back from this next break, and people are starting to line up. You can do so right now. We're talking about, obviously, the true Israelite tribes in the Old Testament, the New, right up to the current, in the flesh. Who is Israel? Who is not? And we're also talking a lot about the whole business of Adam and Eve and creationism versus evolutionism. And on his website, Gene will tell you, both schools of thought are as bad as the other, the creationist, so-called, and the evolutionist. Neither one seems to be able to come to grips with reality. So our number here is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Remember that. Also, remember to go to the website. If you have a problem sleeping, go to bedfan.com and cool yourself off if you have a hot sleeping pattern, so to speak. One of those people that just cannot cool down, cool off when you sleep, visit the website, bedfan.com. Many of you have. Many of you are taking advantage of it. And we'll hear some testimonies in the near future when we have our guest back on. Mr. Thompson, Kurt Thompson, originator of the Bedfan, bedfan.com. I'm Rick Adams. Our guest is Gene Smith, who's just gotten his Ph.D. now, and he is ready to go answer your questions and your comments. We'll be back with our callers in just 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
This is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
The truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you're mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasermedinc.com. That's www.lasermedinc.com. Or call 702-953-0267.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Get back at 'em with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back. We're talking with Gene Smith, the scriptures. We're talking about the Bible, Adam, white race, who is who? Who is Israel? Who's Jacob? Who's not? And, boy, we got a lot of interest in this subject. 800-313-9443. Gene, let's take a call.
All right.
Here's Janet in New York. Hello, Janet.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. This
You're
is a
welcome.
Great show. I'd like to know, I'm from New York, and I see Jews everywhere, you know, and I notice they have their own racial characteristics. They have their own look. They don't look like Anglos. They sure like marrying Anglo women. Anyway, I'd like to know, what kind of a race are they? Where are they from? And why do they call themselves Jews?
Oh, boy,
I'll
that
take
was the
answer
next question.
Off the air.
All right,
okay.
Janet.
Thank you.
You led us right down to the next logical question, right, Gene?
Yes, and might take the next hour to answer that one.
Well, who is Israel and who is not? That's the question. All
well,
right. Let's take a stab at it now.
Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9 and Revelation chapter 3 and verse 9 mentions those that say they are Jews and are not. Now, the word Jew, of course, means Judahites or Judeans there in the Greek. And it means that there be people calling themselves Israelites, Judean Israelites, or what we call Jews today, but they're not. Now, we have to, in order to understand this, we have to understand what happened in the first century B.C., and this is during the Maccabean Revolt. The Maccabeans, in the last part of that revolt, around the first century B.C., mid-second century B.C., excuse me, about 150 B.C., they captured a place called Petra, and the Edomites, the Idumeans, were living there. Now, the Idumeans were the descendants of Esau. In Genesis chapter 36, when he married women outside of his race, Hittite women. And these Hittite women and the descendants of Esau became the Edomites, part of the Edomites. He also married Ishmael's daughter, which was another segment of the Edomites. But these Edomites became a part of Judean society. And
in other words, they mingled in pretty fast.
Yeah, John Hyrcanus went down there and captured them after they defeated the Syrian Greeks and won around 150 B.C., and he made them an offer they couldn't refuse. He said, either you become a part of our society or we'll kill you.
Well, sounds like George Bush. It sounds like George Bush.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know,
you're for me or against me. Yeah,
yeah.
Right. You're for the murder of people in Iraq or, you know, you're un-American.
Right. There you
but
go.
But anyway, so of course, these Edomites became part of the Judean society. Now, we're talking about the Judean Israelites. The Israelites of the Assyrian captivity had already migrated into Asia Minor, into Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Central Europe, Italy, France, Spain, the British Isles, Scandinavia. They had already gone that route. In fact, if you want to go to Daniel chapter 9, it's very interesting that Daniel chapter 9, it talks about these people that were already dispersed, these people of the Assyrian captivity, because Daniel was in the Babylonian captivity. He was talking about the people in the Assyrian captivity, these Israelites that had already been scattered or dispersed. So, you know, we hear about the Jewish diaspora.
Yes.
Well, the real diaspora, the real scattering of the Israelites were after the Assyrian captivity in 721 B.C., and so long before 70 A.D. Now, these Edomites became a part of Judean society, so much so by the time of Christ Jesus, they were claiming to be Israelites also. And Christ Jesus told them, especially in Matthew 23 and Luke chapter 11, he told them in no uncertain terms that they were hypocrites. Now, the Greek word